everyone. My name is Pam Staff. Welcome to Authors on the Air. We're proud to be part of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network. Today, we're coming from you live from VoucherCon 2018 in beautiful St. Pete, Florida. Welcome, everyone. Quite an enthusiastic crowd. I'm very happy to announce some very special people sitting with me today. To my right is going to be one of our new podcasters in the network, William Myers Jr., who is a New York Times bestselling author. And so he's practicing getting his chops today. Hi, Bill.
Hi, Pam. Hey, and I want to put this out there for everybody in the podcast world who doesn't know this. Last night, Pam Stack was elected to the executive board of VoucherCon.
Thank you. Those fools elected me treasurer, not knowing that I can't count the two pennies in my pocket.
Last night, Pam went out and bought a new boat.
Yes. I heard the treasurer's report. Further on down the road is Terry Lynn Koop, who is the host of Blue Plate Special. Welcome, Terry.
Thank you. It is excellent to be here.
Very good.
Thank you.
And then our newest host in the network is Kevin Deutsch. Kevin Deutsch is an award-winning journalist. He follows true crime. He's got two big, big books out. His new show is
A Dark Turn.
Welcome, Kevin. Welcome. You're welcome. Now, come on over here and tell who's sitting next to you.
My name is T.J. Tracy, and I'm the author of The Nine Monkey Wrench novel.
Welcome. How are you today?
Thank you. I'm great. I'm enjoying beautiful St. Petersburg, VoucherCon.
I'm going to let Bill take over because this is his turn to learn.
So, T.J., tell me about your protagonist.
So, the protagonists are basically two sets. A pair of two Minneapolis homicide detectives, and they work closely with the Monkey Wrench gang of computer geniuses. Very eccentric, and they work together to help the police solve crimes. So it's I just did a panel called Writing Techno Thriller, so I guess that's sort of what they are.
Are they murders that they try to solve?
Oh, several murders. So many murders.
You said that with glee in your voice. It kind of concerns me.
Well, look what I do for a living. I mean, I'm the woman who read The Shining when I was 10.
Oh,
which kind of explains something, maybe. Yeah, they're murder mysteries, probably more thrillers, you know, on the clock ticking side of things, and very much character driven, and they all take place in the Midwest, so there's a lot of, you know, Minneapolis, Minnesota. The weather, of course, is very much character there, and also joining the council.
And how do we find you? If we want to buy your books, how do we find
you? We are available anywhere, all over the world, pjtracy.com, PJ Tracy author at Facebook. And I am, by the way, Tracy Lambert, PJ, with my writing partner and mother for many years, who recently passed 2 years ago. But I'm continuing the Monkey Wrench series book out.
We're so glad you're here. Thank you so much for being here. It was really nice to meet you. I'm glad you came.
Thank you.
We had a master class earlier today when Michael Conley came into the room. There is another person who can certainly give a master class. Heather Graham, come on up. Thank you, Heather Graham. If you've ever read a book in any bookstore, chances are it has Heather Graham's name on it. If you've ever gone to a conference someplace, Heather Graham is there. She actually has her own conference in New Orleans. This woman and her entourage is her family, their biggest supporters. And so welcome back to Authors on the Air, Heather.
Well, thank you very much. It's always great to get to talk to you.
Thanks. Well, so I'm going to turn you over to Terry because she knows your books too.
Absolutely. What's your newest book out? My newest book out is the summer series that comes out, and I don't believe it. I just totally blanked on my title. I think Pale as Death, and then it will be coming out in a couple of days, is Echoes of Evil.
Ooh.
Could you tell us a little bit about Echoes of Evil? That sounds interesting. It's based on this summer. Each year, these all take part in something called the Crew of Hunters. Which is a series where they say the tagline would be Criminal Minds Meets Supernatural. So these guys all go through the FBI Academy. They're legitimately FBI, but you're only asked to be in the crew if you do have the capability of speaking to the dead when the dead choose to be spoken to. But it's really a great deal of fun to write them because you get to go back on history. I've got to use
We love Edgar Allan Poe, so I got to bring him back for one of them to help them solve the mystery. The ghosts are not evil. They're usually waiting around to try to help because something, you know, terrible happened to them, and they're using these people to, while the very current crimes committed by very real people are taking place, you know, whoever from the beyond comes back is usually there just to be as helpful as possible and perhaps move on themselves afterwards.
Before your next question, because Heather's here, your best piece of writing advice for people who are just getting going, or even if your engine is kind of stalled, what's the best thing you can do as a writer?
My biggest thing is you hear all the time, write what you know, which is great, except I've often thought that I'm writing what I thought I knew, and I do it wrong. But also, I think write what you love. And then my other thing is don't stop reading. I know so many people who start writing, and then it's like, oh, I don't have time to read anymore. And I think that most of us come into writing because we just couldn't consume enough books. And I think if we forget how much we love books and forget to get back to them and read other things that we find exciting, I think we lose our drive for why we're doing it. And then be disciplined. Whatever time it is that you can give, you know, whether it's going to be 1 hour a week because you have kids and a full-time job, or whether it's going to be 10 hours a week or a daily job, whatever it is that you've promised yourself, make sure you're dedicated to it, begin a project, and get through the middle of it, and finish it. So, you know, make sure that you're dedicated to what you're doing.
Is there anyone here who's a debut novelist? Come on forward. You now are getting your master class. Ask, stay there, Heather. Stay there. You're going to come over here, and you're going to ask Heather Graham questions.
Wonderful.
Tell her who you are.
Hi, Heather. I'm Matt Lation. I'm the token international guest all the way from Tampa.
I recognize that Tampa accent right away.
Well, it's Tampa. My first question, I guess, would be, it's a profession that largely sets people up for rejection or failure before success. What was your way of coping with that, or did you literally strike gold with your first query?
No. I started out because I actually went to school here at USF, and I had been a theater major, working at the Oslo State Theater and a few other places, and then my husband and I started having children, and I literally couldn't afford to go to auditions anymore, so I stayed home and started writing. But I think the great thing about having come out of theater is I was so freaking injured and rejected. It didn't faze me at all. So, yeah, you do, whether someone rejects you or not. And I'll have ideas that, you know, I've been out. Sometimes I feel like I'm, you know, as old as a jerk in this business. But someone can still say an idea is not great or something they're looking for or whatever. So, but one of the things that I try to deal with and that I truly thank my past for is that when someone, you know, does rip me up in any way, shape, or form, I can give them some attitude. I can say, excuse me, I have been insulted by father than you.
One last question. Go ahead. And who else is a newbie?
Jody.
Come on up.
Okay. From my side, it's I have a day job. I'm
Carrie,
a humble solutions architect by day and father by evening. And around about 10 p.m. is when I become a writer. Obviously, isolation helps in trying to get more done. What do you have a go-to place for that, or even in the beginning when time is hardest to find?
It was very difficult to find. And I think when you first start out, too, all of the space ran to, oh, you're writing good, you're not busy. You know, all of the space is that. Yeah, oh, good, you're not doing anything. And I think that it's hard that we have to be disciplined again, like, no, excuse me, I am sorry, I really am busy. And you just have to go with that. I will say the one thing that was in my benefit is that I would be trying to write with small children in the house. And a lot of us who did start with small children kind of feel like, We're going, unless there's blood. You know, don't stop us until there's blood. And, you know, and you do go that way. And I seriously appreciate the children because, thanks to them, I feel like I became a Dr. Seuss novel and I could write on a plane, on a train, in a car, going far. A lot of people do need quiet, and they taught me extreme focus, so I'm very grateful for that.
We have another new writer,
Joe Reed.
Yeah, I'm Joe Reed.
Joe Reed's a Thomas and Mercer author like me, and he, like he just said, his book Takeoff just came out. It's doing very well. Do you want to tell us about Takeoff, or
Sure, just real fast. It's about an air marshal who solves aviation based crime. So it's set in on airplanes and in airports across the country. And the idea is that each book will, you know, involve different crimes that happen around aviation, whether that's terrorism or kidnapping or anything like that.
You have a master teacher right here. Ask the question.
Am I going to be afraid to fly? Am I going to be afraid to fly?
I get that question a lot. And
that's great, though. I want to tell you.
Thank you. No, at least in the first one, there's no plane crashes. There's no bare knuckle flying that I have to worry about. How do you balance the need to be writing your next book while you're marketing your first book and doing things like this and meeting readers and building readership?
I think I love people, so I'm always very excited when you get to come to things like this, and we do get to see friends that live all over the country, and when we have these conferences, you know, it's wonderful. You're with like minds. And the thing about any conference is we always hope that you come to the conference and everything that you hear, you leave more inspired to work on what you're doing. I find that they fuel you, you know, and no matter how long you're in this, you can go to panels and you are always going to learn something new. So like I said, I personally love it. Now when I go home, I will, actually, to be honest, I usually do a page and a couple paragraphs just so that I remember what I was doing. Like, you know, I'll wake up in the morning before I come down and do something quickly just so that I don't forget where I was. And I do work, I tend to be a person who does work daily. And again, I spend a lot of it just being truly grateful that I get to do this for a living because I don't think they hire me for anything else.
Well, that's Heather's call. I guess she's done on that. You have a grandbaby calling you probably, right?
I think they get where I'm so sorry I should turn that off.
That's okay. Don't worry about it. That's okay. That's okay. That's okay. Thank you for your question and good luck with your debut novel. Okay. I wanted to ask now Bruce Coffin, J.J. Hensley, and Shane Yerke to come up. And there's some other Behind My Madness. Thank you, Heather.
Thank you.
Thank you for the master class. So come on over, guys. Grab a microphone, whatever you want to do, Bruce, J.J., Shane. So the reason I call these guys up here is because they all have something in common, police procedurals. So Shane, come on over. Shane, though, does not write as a former cop. He writes as a former journalist who followed the cop beat. J.J. Hensley has worked for the federal government in a lot of different capacities. And Bruce, when he first walked into the room at Thriller Fest, and I was sitting down and looked up at him and said, let me guess, former cop. And that was it. So ask your questions. You know, give us your stories. Tell us anything you want to tell us about writing and let everybody know.
I was born in the manger. That didn't pay very well. So I became a newspaper man for 25 years. And then that business started going. Well, I jumped into crime writing, which is one of the two things I've always wanted to do since second grade. Was be a newspaper reporter and editor, which I did, and then become a crime writer, which I did at age 48, published my first novel at age 50. That became a national bestseller. Hopefully, I'd like to think through my efforts, but mainly through my publisher, which proves that we all have a second act in our lives. So people who think that, well, you know, I don't have time to do this, or I don't have time to do that. I'm not a really good writer. Sure you are. You just sit down and write, and you learn, and you talk to authors at conventions, and eventually you learn how to write long form. I wrote short form for many years. 500 words is a long newspaper article. My biggest problem is not learning to write, but learning to write novels, you know, 90 to 100,000 words. The story management gets really heavy.
Give your name in your last book, please.
Shane Yerke, G-E-R-I-C-K-E.
And he did it that way just to confuse you.
Yes. Yeah. So I always spell it because everyone looks for the Y's. The Fury, F-U-R-Y, The Fury, which is a reference to the Furies of the old Greek goddesses. It's a international terrorism thriller. and the hero is a Chicago cop. All four of my books, my first three books were a trilogy. They were all female protagonists, female cops, because I like writing women. I like women as protagonists because I can give them a much larger emotional range than a traditional male cop, where Emily could cry if she wanted to. I mean, she can go into her room because her husband just got killed, and she can go cry. With a male tough guy detective, some readers would go, oh, I don't like that emotion. So I just decided to stick with female protagonists as my cops, and they're very tough cops, but like I said, I can give them a much wider emotional range that readers will accept. It's been a lot of fun. And I get to ask female cops what kind of like underwear they wear.
Thank you, Shane Yerke. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
One of the guys who I found fascinating when I first had a chance to talk to him is J.J. Hensley. J.J. and his wife would commute together on their way to work in Washington, D.C. and listen to audiobooks. So when his first book came out, he was telling me about that in the green room, and I said, well, how did you come to write a book because you listen to audiobooks? And you said to me, your wife gave you a throwdown.
Basically, we've talked about all the things we liked and disliked about crime fiction and the different books that we liked. And I wish they would have done this differently or that differently. And eventually, she said the word that she would come to regret much later. You should write a book.
Yeah, quit complaining and you should write a book.
Right. And being a male, I didn't listen for years. But eventually I did. Once I got out of the Secret Service and worked a normal job and wasn't flying around the world and all that stuff, I just sat down and wrote a book. So that's how I got started.
You have a new book coming out soon, yeah?
Yes, I got one next month called Records Fresh, through Down and Out Books.
Through Down and Out Books. J.J. Hensley, if you've never read his books, I promise you they're as authentic as they come. Standing next to J.J. is Bruce Coffin. He's got a microphone, too. And Bruce, who you'll notice the thick Southern accent, be careful, you may not understand it, also writes a police procedural. Tell us about it, because you just released or are releasing another book.
Yes, I wrote Detective Lyra Mysteries.
I want his voice on my network.
This is the only interview I've done in I don't know how long, where I feel short. I know the listeners cannot tell, but I always get told how tall I look, and right now next to Bruce, I feel like a munchkin. It's so odd.
I went to the Detective Fire Mysteries, set right in Portland, Maine, and my protagonist, John Byron, is a second-generation police officer, detective sergeant in charge of a homicide and violent crime detectives, which is very ironic, as that's the job I retired from 6 years ago, actually, this month. Next month, my third novel in the series, Beyond the Truth, is released on October 5th. Is anything as Michael Collins' next book? I'm sure there's a quote. That's why we're not on together.
So, Bruce, your protagonist, other than solving crimes, what types of challenges does he face in his life? Does he have a dysfunctional family? Does he have an addiction problem? Anything like that going on?
He has a lot of dysfunction. He was actually a lot of fun to create. My goal in creating John was to prove that, in spite of all the advice I was given about how you must write a police detective, I went back to reality. And I really took a good look in the mirror and looked back at the detectives and men and women that I've worked with and trained under. And I created what I believe is a very realistic portrayal. So John has, he's been on the point when the series opens, Among the Shadows is the first book. You get to meet John Byron, and he's been a cop for 20 years at that point. He is battling alcoholism unsuccessfully, and he has separated from his wife for 20 years when we first meet him. And if that wasn't enough, as I said earlier, I meet him a second generation police officer, so he grew up in the city that his father policed in the same neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And he also lost his father when he was a teenager at a very impressionable age, mm-hmm. To an apparent suicide. And the first book, Rising, deals with a lie that he has grown up believing. And so really it's all historical to figure out who John is, and it gives John a chance to figure out who he is.
Okay. Do his dysfunctions make him a better cop, a more successful cop, or did he get in the way?
Yes and no. He's a diligent investigator, a tenacious investigator. He's very good to his people. He is somewhat abrasive to the people that he works for, and that's the kind of picture I was always a model employee. But it really does. I think the problem is John. I actually think John on a journey. I do want to look at the first book of him, I think that he's by the third book and the end of the third book. And I try to take him on a realistic journey of self-discovery. Like many of the people that I work with, we are very good at extending help and coming to the rescue of other people, and very bad at asking for help when we need it.
Well, I'm going to ask for your help now because there are a couple of people that I want to introduce.
Okay.
So bring me the microphone and let me introduce you to some people in case you guys are not, you stay, I'm going to talk to you again. Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you.
Okay. Most of you, earlier this morning, you may have met Craig Pittman, who wrote a book called Oh, Florida. Florida is a very unique environment for book writers, I would say. Yeah. So if you've never read it before, and you'll hand that over, and you've never heard of him, it means you've not been in a bookstore that has a Florida section. I'm very happy to introduce Tim Dorsey to you.
Thank you very much.
He's been a guest on my book. Now you want to hear something that's not crime fiction, but it is with a twist. Take it away.
And say what?
Tell us about your book. Okay. We want a master class on writing.
Oh, gosh. Now the pressure's on. Well, my main character, you might have heard me say this if you were the guest of honor talk or whatever, but for people who don't know about the books, I have main anti-hero, and I have some good characters, but the main character he's kind of lumped in with serial killers. The main character of the book actually is the state of Florida, and this guy he's genius level, but also when you get that point, things can go a little crazy. He's kind of criminally insane, but only in, like, he's passionate about Florida. So he's like the anthropomorphic mouthpiece for state of Florida and everything, all its dysfunction, and then now lately we've had the Florida man thing. Like, but when I'm asked to explain who he is, like I said, he gets lumped in with serial killers in popular culture. You know, you got Hannibal Lecter in the movies and books and TV shows. And he correctly states, he's offended when, like, the newspapers report he's a serial killer. He says, that's not accurate. Technically, I'm a sequential killer. And he says, since serial killers are sick and obsessed and they like doing it, they're compulsive and they're just going to keep on killing until they either get caught or they die or whatever. He goes, I never meant to hurt anybody. I never mean to hurt anybody again. But today's society, I keep coming across all these jerks, and I try to teach them manners, but they won't listen to reason. And then if I don't take care of the matter myself, I'm just leaving work for the guy behind me, and I wasn't raised that way. So my audience, and I have so many people come up to me as far as my feedback, my audiences are the type of people who would say, if somebody just told me about your books, that's the type of book I would hate. That's the main character I would hate. I would never root for something like that. And then they said that, like, some relative or friend said, just try it, you know. And they said, I feel guilty rooting for this guy because he takes care of, like, all the pet peeves and all the things that are going on in society. Because basically I was saying that the basic civility and how to treat your neighbors is in decline. I think it's now in a death rattle. But he's old school, and so that's him. And also he's passionate about forcing people, literally, to take historic tours of Florida to understand the heritage we have and that we're losing, you know, day by day. He gives offbeat tours, and people sign up for them, and they want to get out of the van, and they won't let up and stuff. So anyway, that's the basic premise of the books.
What we're asking for our very special guest is to give us the one piece of writing advice that they absolutely need to know.
The one piece of writing advice you absolutely need to know. I did this. I went through and I did research on what books I would absolutely love. Because, you know, you can go from book to book. But I made a concentrated, you know, I researched and I said, okay, here's
the list of books I haven't read, and I'm just going to read them back to back to back, because it's kind of like if you have an inkling to do the writing thing, a good book will make you want to read. A great book makes you want to write. You know, it's like, you know, it's like when you're a kid, you know, you watch some football game, and then you run outside with your pals, and you fantasize about, you know, catching a touchdown in the Super Bowl or whatever. It's the kind of thing, you know, it's you revert to kind of a child, but you finish a great book, and then you go sit down like, I want to write a great book. And so, you know, that's what I have been doing my whole life. And but I especially did it when I got the idea. I was working on it, writing bits of it forever while I was in newspapers. The other thing that worked for me, may work for you, is I consciously chose a job that I'd have to write every day, whether I want to or not. That way, I would be doing it. It'd be like moving to a country to learn a foreign language. You're just going to, you know, if you just move there alone, you don't know the language, you will pick it up. So I wrote it. I went into daily journalism and with daily newspapers, both in Montgomery, Alabama, and then for about almost 12 years with the Tampa Tribune. And just by doing it every day, the actual medium became kind of transparent, and I could then work on the ideas and the plotting and stuff.
Just real quick, would you tell us about your music festival?
Oh, this is kind of, I hate to use the word organic, but this was a kind of an accidental creation. I also go out and do research around the state, and I travel, and I try to meet people. There's this one guy that I met. I'd heard about him, and he's kind of this Everglades legend. He lives way out in the swamp, and he's got this grandfathered-in little compound. And and we became friends, and I made him a character in one of the books. I met the owner of a restaurant in Everglades City, and he knew him. So he introduced us over the phone. He gave me directions. It's way out. It's about 22 miles of bad road to get there, literally. I took a Cadillac out there, and I'm driving back on 75 to Tampa. It's shaking the whole way. I had to get the whole thing realigned. But so we became friends, and I was driving from Tampa down to Key West, if you know the route, to do the Jimmy Buffett convention. It's a very eclectic mix of things I do. I do museums. I do anyway. And he said, well, why don't you stay over? You know, you've invited me because I haven't seen you for a little bit. Stay over at my place. You know, break up the drive. And I said, why don't we just put it on Facebook? We're gonna have a dual signing because, you know, you're in this book, and I'll get a bunch of the books from that we're both in, and we'll both co-sign it. And so we put it up, and we put it up enough in advance, and then it made, like, the biker kind of Coconut Telegraph got involved. It is the most remote place you could ever have a book signing in Florida, literally. If you want to try to pick a place that would make it hard for people to get to, it's right in the middle, halfway between both coasts, and then it's way down this back road you have to really go. And that first year we had, like, 200 people show up. So then all these musicians wanted to come in, and so the second year we had more, and we had a whole lineup of music all day, all kinds of vernacular Florida music, and it's called my main character is Sir. It's called Surge's Stomp in the Swamp, and then it kind of got too big. We got up to over 500 people the third year, and they moved it to a state park for a while, and now we're moving it to Everglades City. To it's being held in the old, in and around, there's decks and it overlooks the 10,000 Island mangrove area, but it's in the old, it's still there. It's a historic old railroad depot that Baron Collier made for the end of his railroad line in Everglades City. So it's a historical building, and now it's a restaurant. Way too big for a restaurant, but that's what's there. And so they're hosting it.
And the dates are?
The date is October 27th, noon till dark.
Right. The day after my birthday. I could be the guest of honor if you wanted.
Yeah, you come on, it'll be a book event like you've never seen before. It's not like any, it's literally nothing like anything.
Kim Dorsey, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Thanks, I'll see you around at a bookstore or someplace. Our next guest, who really should need no introduction either, is the fabulous Meg Gardner. Meg, sit down. Say hi to everybody.
Hello, everybody.
And I want you, this is my guest host for the day.
Hi, Meg.
This is Terry Lynn Coop from Blue Plate. Kevin is a new podcaster who does true crime. And on the end is author J.J. Hensley, just because I like to look at him, so that's why I'm saying that. Talk about your newest book and tell us what your best piece of writing advice is.
My newest book is called Into the Black Nova. It's the second book in the Unsub series. The first book is Unsub. It's about a young female investigator. She is an FBI agent who hunts serial predators. And so far, both of the books have taken off from real-life crimes. I mean, Caitlin Hendricks is she chases criminals, so I always start with a crime and a criminal. The first book had echoes of the Zodiac Killer in it, and the new one has a big grinning Cheshire Cat freaky taste of Ted Bundy overlaid on the story.
How did your protagonist get involved in hunting serial killers in particular? Was there something in her own background?
In her own background, Caitlin was the daughter of a cop who had been hunting a legendary serial killer and who disappeared, which he was an unsub, the unknown subject, and was never caught, never captured, and comes back after 20 years and picks up where he left off. Because I grew up in California. I remember seeing as a little kid a picture of the Zodiac Killer in the newspaper and spent the next several years as someone with a very active, dark imagination, fearing that he was going to come through my window after me. So I thought, he went away. Nobody ever found him. What's to stop him from just deciding to say, hey, I'm back? So I wrote that book. That was Unsub. Caitlin was the daughter of the guy who couldn't catch the killer, could never break the case. The case broke him. And she was not about to let it go. So, of course, she chased the killer in that story. She's recruited by the FBI. And in the new book, she is up against a charming, devious professional who has been abducting women up and down the I-35 corridor in Texas. And so Caitlin and her team go out to try to hopefully find some of these women. And turns out, of course, that he's there's a killer up, on the loose who takes pictures of his victims and in white nightgowns lays them out like Snow White awaiting her prince's kiss and leaves Polaroids around. And it ends up being a cat and mouse chase across Texas and the West, because I'm not about to let people just sit around and think and like read files and stuff. They've got to go. They've got to go get down and dirty in the woods and eat all the tacos in Austin, Texas as well, because that lets me go do the research for the book.
Nice, nice.
We're running out of time, and I want to make sure everybody has a chance to speak today. And I'm really sorry that we only are on a limited amount of time. The gentleman standing here with me is Wallace Trovey. I don't know if you've ever read any of his books. If you haven't, you've lost out on some of the finest writing I've ever read. And you know, guys, I write a lot of books. Welcome.
Thank you.
We had a conversation about a month ago.
Yes, we did.
About your new book. Tell everybody about your book, please.
My new book is called Some Die Nameless. It's partially set in Florida. It's about a aging ex-mercenary, no special ops guy, a guy with bad knees and bad back. And the second character, main character, is a female reporter at a dying Philadelphia newspaper. And I spent 23 years in daily journalism with daily newspapers in New Jersey. So I wanted to finally... I mean, I was less interested in the mercenary stuff as I was in writing about newspapers and what's happened to them in the last few years and what's like. And I still have many, many friends in business. I've been out of it 10 years now. And it's just, it's been tragic watching what's going on, watching newsrooms get gutted, having members of the Free Press called enemies of the people. I mean, I would never have imagined where we are now. So I very much want to write about that as much as anything else.
It's a terrific book. I have to beg you to go and get it. All of the authors that you are seeing today are substantial, fantastic, award-winning, best-selling. You know, we try to bring you all of you new folks who want you to be heard too. But trust me when I tell you that learning from the best, you are not going to hear it anyplace else. Jess Lurie, Mike Sears, come on over. Thanks, Meg.
For my writing advice while they're walking up to the
stage. Writing advice.
Okay.
I'm going to get Walt to do writing advice.
All right.
Too.
Sit your butt in the chair and finish what you start.
That's
yes.
Right. There you go. And that's the writing advice. Thank you, baby. Okay, go ahead.
My writing advice?
Your writing advice.
My writing advice is super simple. Read a lot, write a lot. That's all I do.
There you go. Thank you, Wallace.
Thank you.
So glad you got to meet you. Okay, so having a seat right here at New York Times bestselling author Michael Spears, and standing right next to me, award-winning bestselling author Jess Lurie. Hi, welcome to Authors on the Air again. Not like I never see you two, right? So I'm turning this back over to Bill because he also writes crime fiction. You can go ahead and interview Mike and Jeff. And remember, we want their best writing advice.
Yeah. We want your – why don't you start with what you would tell aspiring writers in this kind of evolving writing world we're in right now?
If you haven't begun your book – just start writing. Doesn't matter if you start at the beginning, the middle, or the end. Just start somewhere and find a character you want to live with for a long time and write scenes about him. If you are past that point and you have a book and you're stuck and you don't know what to do, every writer I know has been there, no matter whether you're Ace Atkins, Michael Connelly, or Michael Sears. You get stuck. Just finish the book. It doesn't matter. Just finish the book.
And tell us a little bit about your books and your writing.
I have a four-book series featuring a Wall Street hotshot who ended up going to jail, prison, and he comes out. The only work he can do is to investigate fraud at other Wall Street firms. And he, through his own choice, becomes the single parent of at first 5-year-old autistic boy, and their story together is a very important part of the books. And all of the crimes in them, in these four books, Black Fridays is the first of them, Saving Jason is the most recent, are actual Wall Street crimes, because that was one thing I knew starting out. I would never run out of material.
Thank you, Mike. I'm going to get someone to sit over here so you don't have to stand. And then I'm going to go back here and we're going to talk from the audience, too. Jess Lurie won awards for her books. You also just put out a nonfiction book. Everybody can hear this okay?
Yeah.
You put out a nonfiction book. Bill, it's your show.
Yeah. Why a nonfiction book and what's it about?
So I did a TEDx talk about 2 years ago, and I was encouraged to write a nonfiction book about it. At that point, I had written and published 12 books, and when anybody asked me why I wrote the first one, I would tell a version of the truth, which was I grew up in Minnesota, and I was living in Minnesota, and I had terrible TV reception and long winters, and so I started writing. And while that was true, the truer, darker story was that my first husband had committed suicide on 9/11, I was 3 months pregnant at the time. I had my master's degree in English. I was teaching English. I had flirted with writing novels, but all of a sudden my head was so full of negative thoughts, and I had to keep them up here because I had the little guy, you know, the little bun in the oven. So I had to keep everything up here, and I pushed it out into a book. Ironically or not, it's a humorous mystery. That's what it ended up being. I needed mystery, or I needed humor in my life, and I needed answers. I needed justice. I needed closure, and it gave me all of those. And that was sort of my process all of these years, was turning my own tragedies, fears, shames into fiction. And I gave a TEDx talk, and then I wrote a book about it.
And the nonfiction book is about that?
It's about that. It's called Rewrite Your Life. It's actually up for an Anthony at this conference. It was my invitation to the mystery world, which has turned out to be a wonderful family.
Is it, I mean, I'm sure it was hard for you to do that. Was it also cathartic just to get it out on paper and put it out in the world?
Yeah, tremendously cathartic. I'm Midwestern. We don't talk about our stuff. We pretend we don't have stuff, frankly. And so to get it all out there, so there was no, it just, I never had to tiptoe around it anymore. So it's half memoir, but it's also half how-to, because I think the best writing is in fiction. The best fiction writing is informed by our own personal experiences as well.
Well,
so
thank you.
I have three new guests for you to meet. Sorry to interrupt. They all have something in common. Who?
Clive Cussler.
Clive Cussler, hello. You're meeting three best-selling authors who write with Clive Cussler.
Yeah.
Start over here, two. Start over here and tell everyone about who you are first.
So my name's Graham Brown. I worked with Clive Cussler on the New File. Been co-authoring with him since 2010. Before that, I had a three-book series of my own, and so far, I think it's been the most fun I can imagine writing. It's just a blast working with him, and obviously it's always great when the stuff you work on gets read.
Okay.
All right. I'm Chris Kuznetsky, and I don't write with Todd.
It's French, really.
Yeah, it's French. Yeah. So, but I write in the action adventure world, and the three of us actually met very early on at the very first Bullet Quest. And over the course of my career, very early in my career, and this is one way that the three of us are connected, is that I had mentioned the country of Malta in one of my books, and the Maltese press kind of picked up on the fact that I was publicizing their country, and so ultimately it became like a running joke where in all my books I would start mentioning Malta. So after
were they happy about that?
They were absolutely.
I think Maltese.
Yeah, I don't think anyone in America can speak Maltese.
No, and I have to press that.
It is such. Every other letter in their words is either a Q or an X. Like when you say it, it's like, oh, I mean, that's how they sound. Yeah, but after mentioning Malta so much, the Maltese government contacted me and said, you publicized our book so much, we want to bring you over and give you the best Maltese experience of your life. And feel free to bring friends.
And by the way, isn't that where Game of Thrones is filmed?
That is where Game of Thrones is filmed.
So that's the language.
That's
the
exactly.
This other gentleman down here, he and I have known each other since Thrillerfest 2013 or something. So, Boyd Morrison, hi. Tell everyone what you're doing.
Hi. I work with Clive on the Oregon Files series, and in fact, our next book comes out Tuesday. It's called Shadow Tyrants. And I also have six books of my own that are very much along the same lines. And in fact, Chris was saying that all three of us went to Malta, and we've all now featured Malta in our books. And Graham and I actually.
You know who's getting the kickback,
don't you? Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So Graham and I featured Malta in the exact same scene in two of our books with Clive, The Pharaoh's Secret and Emperor's Revenge. He told it, the scene, from Kurt Austin's point of view, and I told it from Juan Cabrillo's point of view, and it's the exact same scene.
That's so cool. And I have to tell you, I've interviewed Clive before. He's one of the nicest, most generous people to talk to on the radio. If I had had a three-hour radio show, we would still be talking. He's just that great of a guy. Thank you for spending time here today. I really appreciate it. Tell everyone where they can find you all. Where do we find you on the web?
Well,
hi. So here's the thing. New writers, when someone says, where do you find you on the web, you say, the wrong answer.
There's a story behind this. So I had a website, and I didn't check it for many months. And then one day someone said, are you selling Viagra? So I went back. I don't know, I gotta check my work.
Did you
try to get it? So it hasn't happened.
So
I haven't
put
new one up yet, but
if
I could have gotten
those words, I would take that. Okay, so you don't have a website yet, but we can find you on Amazon, right?
Find me on Amazon, you can find me on Facebook.
Okay, and Chris, I see you all over the place.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
ChrisKuznetsky.com.
In Malta, yeah. At Malta.com.
Directory, your Chamber of Commerce, you're
going to
see Jess, I want to thank you. Who else have I talked to? Thatcher Hill, you're real important to talk to. I want to talk to Michelle Drod. I want to talk to about time.
Can someone tell me what's going on here?
This is an intervention.
Yeah. Well, this is a support group for Viagra. Exactly. That's to tell everybody about you and your books. Hi. Are we on?
Oh, yeah. Here he is. I'm Sasser Hill. To date, I have written six horse racing murder mysteries. I am now working on my first non-horse racing book,
about the Irish-American travelers, gypsies, here in the U.S., and the biggest group of them are right near where I live in Murphy Village in South Carolina. So I am enjoying doing that to finally branch out from the horse racing books, which have been really good to me. I won a lot of awards. I just won a $10,000 book award.
Oh, wow.
Beat out Felix Francis for the award. So that was terrific. But anyway, that's me. That's what I do.
Where do we find you?
SasserHill.com.
Recovering via.
SasserHill.com, Facebook, and I'm also on Twitter. I'm all just Google SasserHill.
And trust me, if you want to know anything about horses, you talk to Sasser. The woman is the horse woman plus personified. You ever need horses in your book? This is who you
call me.
There you go. Michelle, hi, honey.
Hi, how are you?
It's been a long time coming.
It's my
fellow board member, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm
also the co-chair for VoucherCon 2020 in Sacramento.
Woo!
About a year old, which is called Ashes of Memory, but I have two books coming out this fall. The first in the mini series is called Stained on the Soul, about stained glass, a little bit of stained glass, and that actually has to do primarily with pedophilia in the church. So I thought, the 10th is my condensed vampire series, which is called Red Bear Rising.
Where do we find you on the web?
You find me at www.michellebreyer.com or Amazon or Facebook.
Thank you so much.
Or actually, even LinkedIn, if you're interested in that.
I'll call you on
it.
I don't know if you all have met Brad Parks in the past at all, if you've gone to throw a test at all. One time Brad was on my show, and I said, you know, in an alternate universe, what would you want to do? And he said, lounge singer. And so Brad and Daniel, and who else is with you on stage at Thorvald?
That's enough.
It's you
two. More than enough. Yeah.
So are the entertainment portion of the show, and actually are both of them very talented, what would all be on the air again?
Thank you, Pam. It's good to be back. Sasser, I have also won a $10,000 book prize. Unfortunately, that was my combined royalties for the last 2 years. Brad just kind of hauled me in here, and then all of a sudden, there's this group, and they're all, everybody's feeling really good about each other. We're going to end up selling flowers at the airport, aren't we?
You missed it earlier when we were talking about the Viagra trio.
Right.
What we're doing is we have a mix of new writers, writers have been writing for a while, and best-selling writers. What listeners want to know, because we're live, what's your best piece of writing advice?
My best piece of writing advice. I'll steal one from Reed Coleman.
Okay, he was here this morning. I'll be glad to tell him that.
Okay, love writing, not what you've written.
There you go. I like that.
That's a good one.
That is a good one.
Good one, right?
Or just, then there's my writing advice. Get really comfortable with self-loathing. Because embrace the self-hatred, because that means you're probably doing something right.
Tell us about the book.
Okay, I actually have an art. We have a listening audience, not a watching audience. Isn't this a beautiful cover? So I just got this art, and it's always really, it's fun. I mean, there are milestones in the life of an author, and when you first see a book in print, you see it as the advance review copy. It's like, oh, my God, that steaming piece of horse apple, on my computer screen, it now actually looks like a book. Isn't that amazing? So this is called The Last Act. It is about an out-of-work actor who is hired by the FBI to impersonate a federal inmate. So he has to go to federal prison. Damn, don't drop it. I don't have that many copies. Go to federal prison. Befriend a former banker who knows about the location of some hidden documents that can bring down a Mexican drug cartel. And, of course, when you send someone to prison to bring down a drug cartel, nothing bad is possibly going to happen to them at all. So it's mostly very happy.
So I want to introduce you to Kevin Bush, who is our new host. He does crime fiction and has written an extensive nonfiction book on the cartel.
and also on a lot of other things, true crime and everything else. If you ever need an expert to give you information, he is an award-winning writer, a journalist.
Well, Kevin, as you know that, like, the great thing about the cartels, from the standpoint of a thriller writer, is they keep getting worse. I mean, and more diabolical and more evil and more like, oh, yes, are they going to bring down a Mexican army helicopter? Yeah, they are.
You know, doing nonfiction, I always tell people, it's a, you know, the cliche is the truth is often stranger than fiction, but it really is. And cartels are a great example of that. I mean, you just can't make this shit up, but it's insane.
Well, and every time you get rid of Sinaloa and you say, well, those, we got El Chapo jail finally, and you might get out, but whatever. And like, well, those were the baddest of the bad guys, so now everything's going to be better. Nah, something worse comes
that's
along.
Somebody else.
Yeah, so that's a lot of what this book is about, is something worse comes along.
Brad, thank you for coming by.
Good to see you.
Good to see you, too. Oh, my goodness. I know what the book is here, Sarah. Hello, darling. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Tell everybody, this is a legend in writing. Tell everyone who you are.
I'm Caroline Todd. We write together, my son and I, as Charles Todd. And I signed as Charles Todd, but my friends do call me Caroline because I don't look like a Charles. The book just had a World War I series. That's Crawford's series. She's a battlefield nurse. And the second series is Ian Rutledge, who is a Scotland Yard inspector right after the war. He bears the scars of the war. And one of the things we had to really learn a great deal about was World War I, the battles, the weapons, the we've flown in a World War I by-wing plane with just the six dials in the front. It was quite an experience. We don't have a parachute either.
Caroline, what's your best piece of writing advice? By the way, if you want to reach an amazing historical, this is not a work to read, Charles Todd. Charles and Caroline do an amazing job. One piece of writing advice, what is it? Read. Read everything you can. The more you read, the more you can bring to your book. And if you don't read, you have a narrow spectrum to draw from. If you do read, you've got everything to draw from. And the book's far more interesting, far more important as a novel. It's just the best way to prepare.
Thank you so much, and a big kudos to the wonderful.
Wow. Noir crime fiction. Bye, guys. Thanks, Dan. Bye, everyone. Noir crime fiction. One of my favorite people is Dan King. Hi, Dan. Yeah, we've been talking about this for a while, haven't we? So, you've written a few books.
Yeah, I've already seen one. One is a FBI suit that is common, and one is a police cursor serial search that's a small group of the edge town went to Monday.
Tell me what the difference is between writing crime fiction and noir crime fiction.
I was on a panel about that yesterday. To me, they're almost apples and oranges. To read noir, and I have written a couple of noir stories. That's the same genre of the crime fiction. Whereas, you know, what they call hard boiled is an actual writing style.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
hold that. She made me work. Yeah, you know, you can pass it on. I'm going up front.
<It's relentless. laughs> My piece of writing advice would be, because everybody just mentioned thinking, which is reading, it would be you have to learn to divide yourself in half. Don't think about an agent or marketing or anything else until you've written and conceived the best tools you can. And then once you've done that, do two things. One, start work on the next book. And two, think of your first book as if somebody else had written it. So you don't take the criticisms in person and they come and take the next one.
Great. Is there somebody else who wants to come up and talk about their books and writing? Please come up.
Come on. Anybody who hasn't had a chance to talk. We are.
Is there anyone else who wants to make a confession here? Hey, Jack, it's your turn.
Come on, Ace. You get to come over and make your confession, too. Thank you, baby. Come on over. For those of you who really have been living underground for a long time, let me introduce you to Ace Atkins.
This is Ace Atkins, award-winning, best-selling author. How are you?
I'm good.
You haven't been on my show for years.
I have. Are we on right now?
Yes, we are live.
Excellent. Yeah.
So we are talking to people who are fairly new in the business right here, some who are not.
Sure.
Best piece of writing advice.
Wow, the best piece of writing advice is in my right hand.
There you go.
You guys can't see this.
But let me check it.
This is a cocktail.
I want to see that as a Viagra.
This is exactly what you need to do. No, I think the best thing you can do is two things. You need to read as much as you can, and you need to write as much as you can. It's nothing like practice, practice, practice. That's so much better.
I hang on the right.
Sure, sure.
Now, you write in a couple different series. You have your own.
That's right.
And who else do you write for?
I also work for the Parker Estate. I've been doing that for the Robert D. Parker Estate for coming up in the last 10 years. And so I continue the adventures of Spencer, the iconic detective. So I've been very honored to do that and keep that legacy going. And I was hired shortly after Mr. Parker's death and still keeping that going on today.
Would you mind answering a few questions for people who
sure.
are just new in the business?
Of course.
Start over here.
Absolutely.
Hi, I'm Ross Carley. I write the Wolf Ruger series of mysteries and cyber thrillers. And I'm an ex-professor of electrical and computer engineering, basically a professor emeritus at Purdue. And Wolf Ruger is the character in the movie. I consulted in cyber technology, and I think my one of my questions to you, and having read pretty much everything Robert Parker or you have ever written, is how do you create a character out of Boston? How do you treat Boston as a character?
You know, Parker famously said, you know, that Spencer would be Spencer even if Spencer lived in Cleveland. And so I do think that there's a great part of Boston in those books, but so much of the whole field of that series is that character. I mean, I think the key for me writing about Boston is getting to know it the best that I can.
And you're
and
you live so
time,
close to Boston.
I live so close to Boston, but for the last 10 years, it has become my second home. It's become my outpost, and I'm a Southerner. I live in Mississippi. I'm originally from Alabama. I spent a lot of time down south, but for me, getting that feel of that. But the real trick, you know, getting to have a landscape that is another part of your books at another level is really not layering it on too thick. You want to make sure you know the terrain, make sure you know the geography, make sure you have a feel for it. But you don't want to go overboard. You don't have to tell us too much about it.
And now I have to tell you, I'm sorry, they are chomping at the bit to get in. We're over our time. You, the ones who didn't get a chance to talk, we are going to do a podcast tomorrow morning.
Why, thank you, Pam.
Okay.
I love you.
Now, listen, I want to say thank you very much to Britton Haller, who is my author wrangler, one of the best there is. Thank you for being here, everybody. Have a good time.
I actually settled my channel, too.
Yeah.